So, Hare Krishna. Since there are so many guests here today, I will speak in English. Generally, the evening class is conducted in Hindi for the convenience of the local people. क्योंकि बहुत सारे भक्त लोग जगह-जगह से आए हैं उसके कारण आज शाम को ये क्लास मैं अंग्रेजी में देने का संकल्प किया है ऐसे तो हम हिंदी में क्लास देते हैं पर आज हम अंग्रेजी में क्लास देंगे अगर अंग्रेजी समझने में कोई असुविधा हो तो हम अनुवाद का व्यवस्था कर सकते हैं अंग्रेजी समझने में दिक्कत होगा आपको जो जिसका होगा हाथ उठाइए अच्छा तो somebody can translate in Hindi from the lady's side who can will you do it Prema Manjari okay तो आप हाँ माताजी Prema Manjari माताजी बॉम्बे से आए हैं उन्होंने आप हाँ बैठिए आप लोग उनके साथ जाइए वो कोने में बैठकर उन्होंने अनुवाद करेंगे आपके लिए हिंदी में एंड ऑन दिस साइड इस साइड में अंग्रेजी समझने में कोई असुविधा होगा किसी को अच्छा बांग्लाते अनुवाद प्रयोजन आछे कार कार अच्छा ताहले बांग्लाते अद्वैत नहीं तो ये करे ना सोमनाथ बांग्ला के अनुवाद करते पारबे सोमनाथ के डाको हरे कृष्णा और अच्छा हिंदी में अनुवाद का जरूरत है यहाँ इस साइड में अच्छा सब हिंदी समझते हैं अंग्रेजी समझते हैं बहुत अच्छा हरे कृष्णा फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल आई वांट टू एक्सटेंड माय वेरी earnest joy and for receiving you here for that you all have come here I feel very happy and today of course the many devotees came devotees started to come actually since day before yesterday and we haven't been quite prepared for the program today because our feeling was our understanding was that everybody that the program will start from tomorrow generally the program was supposed to be on the 16th, 17th and 18th and I was considering that today we could have arranged something for you all like we could have taken you to Mahakal temple or there are other important places in Ujjain Sandipani Muni's ashram is here how many of you have already seen Mahakal temple you have seen. How many of you haven't seen? Okay. How many of you have visited Sandipani Muni's ashram? Haven't visited. Okay. Anyway, so let us see. Because from tomorrow onwards, the days are going to be quite full. There'll be a lot of activities going on. Tomorrow is Bhakti Vinod Thakur's appearance day celebration. So we will be starting the program in the morning only. Of course, Mangal Aarti will be here in the temple at 4:30, and then there will be other programs. And the main program will be in Ashray Hotel. There is a hotel in the city. It's one of the nicer hotels in Ujjain, and many of you are staying there already. And in that hotel, there's a large banquet room. So we have taken up the banquet room for our program, and we will be celebrating Bhaktivinod Thakur's appearance day celebration there and tomorrow. And then there will be Prabhupada Memorial Festival day after tomorrow and the day after. Did all of you get a printed out card announcing the programs? Who didn't get the cards announcing the program for next 3 days? Okay, so you can ask Ganga Narayan for that. And if you have any other queries or if you have any difficulty, please let our devotees know. In that card, the names and the phone numbers, the mobile phone numbers of different devotees have been given. Like if you are in need of a vehicle to go somewhere, Lakshminath and Govinda Bhakta Prabhu and some other devotees are taking care of that. And in if there is a need for medical treatment, Ganga Narayan can coordinate that. If anyone needs Ayurvedic treatment, Rajan Upadhyay will help you out with that. And in the hotels, there are different individuals who are taking care of those needs. Also, one shortcomings that we have is that we are very new here. Actually, this center in Ujjain started only on 6th November. We are here for about 10 months. We have been here for about 10 months. And we are, therefore you can well imagine, like, we are not really that organized here. So, but we are trying our best to make the necessary arrangements for you all. At the same time, we also must admit that here in Ujjain we have a lot of facilities. One thing is that Ujjain is a Tirtha, is one of the 7 holy places of India. And so it is, you can well imagine that it is a very, very important place of pilgrimage. And because of that, there are lots of facilities are available here. Like there are many hotels, there are many dharamshalas or guest houses. Those facilities are here. And that's why we could accommodate you without much difficulty. Like you can see, this temple here doesn't have any living facilities, doesn't have any facility for accommodation. All our devotees, we have about 50 devotees here, and all the devotees live outside. We rent out different places, therefore we did not have much facilities ourselves. We have only a few houses for our accommodations, and also the local people here are very helpful. Many people are accommodating the devotees in their houses, and also for example, I am staying as a guest in someone's house. Mr. Ajay Bhargav, I had a place, a rented place here, a house here, but since that place was a little far, it's a nice house, it's a nice two-story building, but it was a little far from here. And that's why last time I was here, I decided to move close to the temple. And when Mr. Ajay Bhargav got to know that I was looking for a place to stay, he actually told me, "Why don't you come and stay at my place?" So at that time, I kind of was reluctant. But when I came back to Ujjain, I was driving from the airport, Indore airport, to Ujjain, and Mr. Ajay Bhargav phoned me in my mobile phone, and he told me that he demanded that I should go straight to his house. So I told him, "No, I have to go to the temple." And he said, "Okay, then after the temple, you please come to my house." And I told him, "Okay, let me think it over." And then, anyway, he kept on insisting so much that the next day I moved at his house. It's a very beautiful house. I think it's one of the most beautiful facilities in town. And they are very nice, very hospitable people, very pious. And so like that, this is what Ujjain is like. People are extremely nice. People here are very, very nice. And that's why Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. And I feel very thankful to Krishna that he brought us here. When I say, for example, last year at this time, at around this time, I was not really aware that I can settle down in Ujjain. Some negotiation, some exchanges were going on with the Madhya Pradesh government. But even at around this time of the year, last year, I was not quite sure that I would settle down in Ujjain. But here I am. And personally, I feel that it was actually Krishna's mercy that he brought us here. Personally, I feel that this is one of the most wonderful places that one can actually come and try to spread Krishna consciousness, because the response is so nice. And people are so nice. They're responding so favorably. And you must have noticed it. Like the other day, somebody was telling me, like he went to, they are from America. Husband and wife came to Ujjain. and they wanted to go to Mahakal temple. They went to Mahakal temple. And there was a big queue in Mahakal temple. And so they didn't have much time to stand in the queue and have darshan of Mahakaleshwar. And they just told somebody if they could have some special arrangement made for them that they could get a quick darshan. And that person happened to be the person involved in the temple. And they said, oh, you're from ISKCON, so please come. And they just took them straight inside the temple, avoiding the queue. And wherever we go, we get a very wonderful response. And we are building a temple here. That temple is the concrete part of the structure is almost ready. Only the dome, three domes are to be constructed, and then we have to clad the temple with marble. And actually we started the construction of the temple less than 6 months ago, and it's already up, and we have about another 5 months, so to say, complete the temple. And we are planning to inaugurate the temple on 10th of February 2006. So it's Krishna has been very kind. That's about all I can say. Krishna has been very kind. Krishna brought me here, and this is also a place of his pastimes. Krishna and Balaram came here to study in the ashram of Sandipani Muni. And this place is considered to be the center of India. And that way, India is the center of the universe, or at least India is the center of the earth planet. So this place is actually the center of the earth planet. And that's why all the astrological calculations used to be conducted from this place, Ujjain. So this is the navel. Just as the navel is the center of the body, Ujjain is the center of Bharatvarsha, land of India. And this place bears some very, very special significance. Like, as I mentioned, Krishna Balaram came here to study in the Sandipani Muni's ashram. Purnamasi used to be here. Purnamasi, before Krishna was born, Purnamasi is actually Sandipani Muni's mother. So Purnamasi took Madhu Mangal and Nandi Mukhi, Sandipani Muni's son and daughter, to Vrindavan just before Krishna was born. She knew that Krishna was going to take part, come down to this earth planet, so she went to Vrindavan from here. This is the place of Lord Shiva, Mahakaleshwar. This is the place, this is one of the four places where four drops of nectar dropped when the fight ensued between the demigods and demons over the pot of nectar. And then when the Lord appeared in his Mohini Murti, to bewilder the demigod, bewilder the demons and give the nectar to the demigods, He distributed the nectar here in Ujjain. This is the place where Lord in his Mohini Murti distributed nectar to the demigods. So it's a very important place for us. And it is everyone knows that it's one of the oldest cities of India. You know of King Indradumna, to whom Lord Jagannath appeared. Indradumna's capital was here in Avanti. The actual name of Ujjain is Avanti. The Vedic name is Avanti. Avantipuri. The name Ujjaini came later on. Then a very famous king, King Vikramaditya, who had the 9 gems in his court, known as Navaratna, including Kalidas, Baraha Mihir, Banabhatta. King Vikramaditya's capital was here in Ujjaini. Kalidas, the famous poet and dramatist who wrote Abhigyan Sakuntalam, Vikramarvasya, Meghdoot. So he was here in Ujjain. And finally, ISKCON came here. And it's going to naturally bear a very special significance, this place. I mean, our movement will have a very deep impression in this place. So, we are very happy to be here, and we are very happy to have you all here. And please come and try to help Srila Prabhupada's movement, try to spread Krishna consciousness movement. Hare Krishna. So, generally in the evenings, every evening we discuss on Bhagavad Gita. Now we are doing the 6th chapter, and you can see the verse on the board. We'll briefly discuss the Bhagavad Gita verse, and today also is the birthday of Neera. Where is Neera? So we are going to cut a cake. Is the cake ready? Bhagavad Gita, as it is, chapter 6, text 37. Arjuna Ubacha Ayati Shraddhayo Peto Jogat Chalitamanasaha Aprapya Yoga Sangsiddhing Kang Gating Krishna Gachati. Ayati Shraddhaya Upeto Yoga Chalita Manasaha Aprapya Yoga Sangsiddhing Kangating Krishna Gachati. Is the English Bhagavad Gita name? Anyway, I I'll just quickly read this translation. Prabhupada's translation. Arjun said, O Krishna, what is the destination of the unsuccessful transcendentalist who in the beginning takes to the process of self-realization with faith, but who later desists due to worldly mindedness and thus does not attain perfection in mysticism? So this sixth chapter is describing, Krishna is explaining about the process of Ashtanga Yoga. The Ashtanga Yoga consists of 8 different limbs or 8 different stages of gradual development of practicing the process of yoga. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is discussing about different spiritual practices. There are different kinds of spiritual practices. They fall in 3 different categories. One is Karmakanda section of the Vedas, then Gyanakanda section of the Vedas, and then devotional service. So all the practices of spiritual progress depend upon these, or rather fall in these 3 different categories: Karmakanda, Gyanakanda, and Bhakti. Karmakanda, the purpose of Karmakanda actually is to have worldly benefits, enjoyments in this material nature. The purpose of Gyanakanda is to attain liberation. But bhakti leads one, takes one out of the material nature and situates him in the spiritual sky. So these are the 3 different processes. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna discussed about Karmakanda, Karma Yoga. The perfection of Karmakanda is actually in Karma Yoga. The perfection of Gyanakanda is in Gyana Yoga. But Karmakanda becomes Karma Yoga when it is blended or mixed with devotion. Similarly, Gyanakanda becomes Gyana Yoga when it is mixed with devotion. So that is what Krishna is pointing out, that karma rendered with devotion is Karma Yoga, Jnana rendered with devotion is Jnana Yoga. Now, through these discussions, Krishna is actually establishing the fact that these are not the ultimate goal. Karma Yoga is not the ultimate goal. Even Jnana Yoga is not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is pure devotion. These are the propensities that we have. When we have a tendency to enjoy in this material nature, then that tendency is dovetailed in devotional service. That is Karma Yoga. We have a tendency to enjoy. But when we make that endeavor for enjoyment with Krishna and devotion to Krishna, then that becomes Karma Yoga. Similarly, when we are aspiring for liberation or endeavor for knowledge, but when that endeavor for knowledge is mixed with Krishna consciousness, then only it becomes Jnana Yoga. But they are not, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga are not the ultimate goal. Like in this sixth chapter, Krishna is discussing about the Ashtanga Yoga. And the purpose of Ashtanga Yoga is to achieve the state of Samadhi. The state of Samadhi is the state of perceiving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, face to face, in the heart. Now when one sees the Lord in the heart, that is the state of Karma Yoga. That is the state of Yoga Siddhi. But Krishna then is pointing out to Arjuna that at that stage, one actually becomes perfectly Krishna conscious. Because at that stage, he not only sees Krishna as a super soul in the heart, but he also sees Krishna in everything. In everyone's heart and in everything. And he also sees everything and everyone in Krishna. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki. So he sees everything and everyone in Krishna. So that is how he is actually pointing out that ultimate perfection of Yoga Siddhi is to become Krishna conscious. But the process is not direct. The process is indirect. It's a very hard and laborious process, this perfection of yoga, to achieve the perfection of Ashtanga Yoga. For example, the stage of Ashtanga Yoga, the fourth stage of Ashtanga Yoga is pranayam. The pranayam consists of the art of mastering the process of breathing. And the purpose of pranayama is actually to retain the air, the life air inside, and stop inhaling and exhaling. Inhalation and exhalation completely stops. So that is the process of one of the stages of Ashtanga Yoga, which means the yogi at that stage, when a yogi perfects the stage of pranayama, he stops breathing. He stops breathing. A perfected yogi will stop breathing for months together. In that respect, we can consider Hiranyakashipu. He was standing on his toe. And he stopped. He was not moving. He was not eating. He practically stopped all the functions of the body. And the ant started to eat up his body. Eat up his body. The whole body was eaten up. Only the skeleton was standing. Now, such a austere process. Who can ever perform that kind of austerities? But a yogi is... Hiranyakashipu was a yogi. And the yogic perfection, but in his yogic perfection, he did not see the super soul in the heart. He performed his austerities, and then eventually it created so much disturbance in the universe that the demigods went and appealed to Brahma. Please do something about it. Please do something about it. And then Brahma came to pacify Hiranyakashipu. So, in this way we can see that austerities and penances may give us certain physical power, but that doesn't elevate us spiritually. Only when it is projected towards Krishna, it can derive the spiritual benefit. So in this way, through explaining different processes of spiritual practices, Krishna is pointing out to Arjuna that the ultimate goal is to surrender unto Him. And that is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is not directly going to devotional service. Krishna is making that progress step by step. And ultimately Krishna is negating that. Krishna is not negating, but He is making Arjuna to negate that. Like when Krishna explained about the yoga process, Arjuna said, "Krishna, that's not going to I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to perform this very difficult process. It is impossible for me to control my mind in this way." So this is how Krishna, through Arjuna, he is actually pointing out that how these processes are not really necessary. What is actually important, that we surrender unto Krishna. And that is not difficult. The process of practicing, the process of Ashtanga Yoga is very difficult. Even the process of practicing Karma Yoga is very difficult. But surrender to Krishna is not at all difficult. Very easily we can surrender unto Krishna. Surrender doesn't take any endeavor. Surrender simply requires surrender. That's about all it takes. Just surrender. Just give up your tendency to become big and become a controller. Give up the tendency to control. Just surrender. Just surrender. Sometimes we consider, like, in the wrestling match, two wrestlers fight. And then the loser ultimately has to say, "I surrender." Isn't it? Now, there is so much effort not to surrender, but finally one surrenders, especially when that wrestling is going on with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we are going to lose. So why not just straight away surrender? And the surrender is, how in wrestling? One surrenders, or one is made to surrender. The winner pins him down on the ground, and as his back touches the ground, that is the sign of surrender, that he lost. He lost means when his back touches the ground, he lost. Now, in our battle against surrendering to Krishna, eventually we have to surrender. At the time of death, our body will be lying there flat. Then we have to say, "I surrender." But that is such an arduous way to surrender. Why not surrender directly? All it takes is just say, "Krishna, I surrender. I know I'm not going to win. Therefore, I just accept you. I know I'm going to lose, so I just accept you as my Lord and Master. And I surrender. I am your humble servant." And Krishna takes care in all respects. I mean, Krishna is taking care of us in all respects as it is. Even before we surrender, Krishna is taking care of us. So what to speak of when we surrender unto Him, there is no way of knowing how Krishna can take care of us. So that's all it takes. So Krishna's final instruction is just surrender. Mam ekam sharanam braja. And throughout Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is trying to convince us that we should surrender unto Him. Krishna explains in the sixth chapter the entire process of Bhagavad Gita, entire process of Ashtanga Yoga. But then finally what Krishna says, that the best yogi is the one who renders devotional service unto Me. So, if that is the best process of yoga, then why go through this yam, niyam, asan, pranayam, pratyahar, all these very, very difficult phases? What's the use? If I know I have to go to some place, isn't it best is to take the direct access to that goal? What's the point in going in a roundabout way? There's a saying, like, we can hold our ear either straight in this way or in this way. Now, what's the use of holding our ear? Not even this way. Like, it's impossible. I can hold it this way. But if I want to take my hand around and try to hold it in the other way, it's not going to be possible. So why take the difficult way? Why not take the simplest way? Straight, go to Krishna, surrender. Krishna, I surrender. Krishna, I am yours. And please accept Me. That's about all it takes. So that is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. And that is the uniqueness of Srila Prabhupada's presentation of Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada, the last instruction of Krishna was the first instruction of Srila Prabhupada. When he is explaining Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada straight away goes to that point. Surrender unto Krishna. If you want to understand Bhagavad Gita, just surrender unto Krishna. Accept that He is God and accept His teachings. That's it. And everything will be revealed to you. Bhagavad Gita will be revealed to you. And that's why we see the wonderful benefit of Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. The benefit of Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, or the uniqueness of Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is that this Bhagavad Gita, this one Bhagavad Gita, is making hundreds of thousands of Krishna devotees all over the world. Whereas thousands of so-called Gitas put together doesn't make even a single devotee of Krishna. In the market there are so many Bhagavad Gitas. But after reading those Bhagavad Gitas, no one becomes a devotee. But when one reads Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, what happens? He can't help but become a devotee. Srila Prabhupada ki, Bhagavad Gita ki, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki.